Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. We're on our final visit to a small town in Louisiana for this season. Today, we visit a small town that is just south of the capital city of Baton Rouge that prepared for growth years ago and is seeing it now. And we talk to a mayor who actually had his first job in the same building where he now leads his city, before it was Town Hall. And today, he is managing growth while keeping the small town feel of his community that he has lived in and loved all his life. We're going to go talk with Mayor David Toups in the small town of Addis, Louisiana. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia. All right, we are in Town Hall, even though we're in a city. I'll ask about that. In the city of Addis, Louisiana, we're sitting in the city council chambers with the mayor of Addis, Louisiana, Mayor David Toups. Mayor Toups, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Mr. Mayor, welcome to the town of Addis. Well, I still say the town of Addis, but I guess we're technically a city.
I asked you that because I know my Louisiana, and my audience now does too. Anyone that's outside Louisiana knows there's cities, towns, and villages, and it's based on population. And so you said you're actually a city, but you still have town on everything?
We have. We haven't gone through the process. Don't really see any benefit from changing the city hall besides costing us more money to go change our letterhead, our checks, and everything else. So,
and that's because you guys have surged in population. I know we'll talk about the growth as part of your story, but it still says town hall, but the most recent census puts you over that 5,000 population mark to make you officially a city.
Yes, we actually doubled in size from the 2010. Was like about 3,600. And now we're right at 7,200.
Okay.
Give or take some, but we'll stick with 7,200.
Well, that's way over 5,000.
That is way over 5,000.
And you were well under 5,000 before, so can't wait to talk more about kind of that growth story. But first, I want to find out about the mayor's story. So I'll start with the same question I always ask at the beginning of these episodes. Were you born in Addis, Louisiana?
I was born in Addis, Louisiana, and I don't plan on going anywhere.
Well, tell me what life was like growing up then. It's obviously grown a lot, so it was even a smaller small town when you were growing up.
Yes, it was a small town, and we actually grew up in the South Division behind the railroad tracks back there, and neighborhood kids, the neighborhood was our playground, and of course, we just like the old story of everybody else, parents during the summertime says, go out and play. Pretty basically locked the doors, and so we ran around neighborhoods and played ball and everything else.
As soon as you woke up and had some kind of breakfast, you were put outside to
that's right.
Raise
that's
a ruckus outdoors instead of indoors. Okay. So went to high school here in town. Now was it, because I know now a lot of schools have consolidated. So is the high school that you went to still here, or they consolidate into a parish?
So actually went to Brule High School in Addis. Okay. We do not have any public schools, even though we now the largest municipality in West Baton Rouge Parish. We do not have any schools, and with our growth, we just early on they had some room for a public school if they wanted it, but they chose not to, and now they got houses there. So
okay.
Went to Brule High School, graduated in 1983.
And I think I came through Brule to get to Addis from Baton Rouge. We're just south of Baton Rouge along the river.
So when you passed up Brule High School, it looks like a junior college over there. In the last 4 or 5 years, the West Baton Rouge Parish has supported our school system and did work on all the schools within the parish. And we actually got a new high school in Brule, and they got a new school on the northern end of the parish, K through 8, that serves goes to Port Allen High School. Only okay. two public high schools in West Baton Rouge Parish.
Okay. All right, so you went to Brule High. So what did you do after you graduated high school here?
So,
or in the next town, sorry.
Same I went parish. To LSU for about 3 years, and really school wasn't my thing, I don't think, at that time. I was just going through the motions and realized I was wasting my mom and dad's money, and I made a decision, went through registration, got all the way to the pay counter, and I went and I said, I'll come back tomorrow. And I made a decision that if I ever go back to school, I'll pay for it where, I wasn't wasting mom and dad's money anymore.
Yeah, so you didn't go back the next day.
No, I didn't go back the next day, found a full-time job. Worked at a store called Godchild's for about a year. I was there working part-time as it was. Then I went to a company called Associated Grocers in Baton Rouge, and I worked there for 26 years. Started out on the grunt work and worked my way up to where, when I left, I was a pork and turkey buyer for 300-something independent retail stores.
Oh, wow. Okay. Out of curiosity, and maybe you had more than one, what was your degree of study and when you were at LSU those few years?
Well,
can't remember.
Probably at the time it was merchandising, so actually it put me into the home economics realm. So that's what I was at the time.
Okay. I wish everyone could have seen the face you made when I asked question.
Well, when you think about merchandising home economics.
That was probably a natural thing to do. Probably got encouraged to go to college, and obviously your parents supported you. And at some point, you said, "This isn't for me, and I don't need to just go through the motions and waste somebody else's money on it." So, but it sounds like you made a good career for yourself if you start, like you said, doing the grunt work and then work your way up to where you're doing buying decisions for 300 stores.
Yes.
So that's what you made a career out of. What now that was all here? Did you move around a lot? Did you do anything?
No, it was all here. Lived here, went back and forth to Baton Rouge. Like I said, 26 years.
Okay.
So
they were based in Baton Rouge, but that's only about a 15-20 minute drive from where we're at right now.
Well, depends
on traffic.
The Mississippi River Bridge.
Traffic depending.
The only major interstate in the country that comes down to one lane going through the heart of the city.
Well, it's a short distance, I guess I should say that, because the mileage stays the same every day. The time it takes to travel, it varies based on other factors.
That's correct. That is correct.
But never moved out of Addis.
Never moved out. Well, I moved to Brule a couple of times, probably for a matter of 8 months, which is the neighboring.
But never moved out of the parish. Stayed home.
Never moved without three miles from here.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, at some point, you stayed here the whole time. Obviously, was there ever any, opportunities to go somewhere else? You just decided not to? Even people that make it their home, some people go off, whether it's for job or college or whatever, and come back.
That thought never even considered.
It just always was home.
I love the small town atmosphere here. And never wanted to leave here. Yeah. So.
Well, at some point, you decided to get into local government here in Addis. So how did that come about? You're the mayor now, but were you on council before? Or?
Well, I can tell you this. Growing up, I was always a shy kid, and which I'm still relatively. You might not can tell. But never wanted to be in front of everybody. And doing things like this is really uncomfortable for me a lot of times. But started out. One of my friends was on the planning and zoning here in town, and he became he got elected to the council. So he asked me if I would do it. I did it.
And that was the beginning of planning and zoning?
Planning and zoning. Okay. So it started with that.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, he evolved into running for town council. Got elected to the town council, served 2 terms, and then finally, I had some constituents that came up to me and said, "Hey, it's time for you to run for mayor. We're not voting for you anymore for council person.
It's time to go.
Previous mayor had been here for 32 years.
Oh, wow.
And he was in one of my neighborhood dads. So,
okay.
So I always said I wouldn't run against him. So I took the opportunity, came and sat in his office and said, Mr. Carroll, I said, people are approaching me about running for mayor. I never thought I would do it, but they tell me they're not going to vote for me anymore. He said, well, I feel comfortable with you running. So he stepped back. I ran unopposed my first term.
Oh, so. Wow. Okay. Did you have opposition when you ran for town council?
Yeah, well, we run at large, so okay. We have five. And
so you have to,
most of the time you got seven, eight, nine people
and
that
whoever
run.
Gets and, the most out of
exactly.
Yeah,
I ran second. Are. There was always one councilman that always came out first.
Mm-hmm.
And he always had the most votes. And I kind of figured out why during my first campaign by knocking on doors. But he still sits as on the council, and
okay.
He's like an eight-termer. I'm thinking that this is probably going to be his last one.
Wow.
So
that's a long time.
He has served a long time for the town of Addis, yes.
Well, let me ask you this. Was it? I mean, it sounds like how you got into it was planning and zoning, and there was just kind of a gradual, okay, now from planning and zoning, I'm getting encouraged to run for town council. Now I'm on town council, and people say, well, they won't vote for me anymore on town council. I got to run for mayor. Was there something specific that you wanted to have an impact on, or was it really just – it sounds like it was just more, hey, I want to be engaged, I want to be involved, I want to support my community, but not in a specific way. But I'm curious always if there's like one thing that kind of ends up being an early catalyst for why you would want to run for those next levels.
And honestly, it's just because I'm born and raised here, and that small-town charm, and always want to try to keep that small-town charm. As I said, you know, Mr. Carroll, well, maybe I didn't say that yet.
Yeah, you did. The previous mayor?
The previous mayor, when he was in here, he actually got federal funds to build a sewer plant. And he and the council, before I was on there, incorporated more land in the town of Addis, to which that's why we actually grown from 3,600 to 7,200.
Yeah.
The infrastructure was here to be able to accommodate it. So,
well, let's talk about that, because you mentioned that, and we were already talking about that, and as I was setting up and everything, that's a really fascinating growth story, and what you just said about the sewer plant, and I know a lot of people that if you're just a resident in a town, obviously you know when the sewer plant is not working, and that's when you call and complain. But most people don't think about that day to day. And those of us who have had experience, or you continue to have experience in municipal operations, yeah, that's something you're focused on. You make sure the water's working, the sewer's working, your gas lines are working, some municipalities provide electricity, all the city services, all those things. Those are things you think about every day. But it's a little rare to hear that well-planned, building for growth and preparing for growth. So talk about that for a while, and I guess go back and, you know, you said it was Mayor Carroll, you're a neighborhood dad,
uh-huh.
So you knew him growing up as a kid, and obviously you've had some conversations. I guess talk about that mindset of him, and obviously the council supported him in those things, and when did they do that, and what were the conversations, even if it was, you weren't there, but you were told about them,
right.
Why they did that, why they knew that growth was coming and to prepare for it.
So it happened in the mid to late 80s. The plant was actually built in the late 80s. And Mr. Carroll, he always, the potential for the town of Addis, just being so close to proximity to Baton Rouge, we're right across the river. I could get to LSU in 12 minutes if we don't have traffic on the bridge. You can get down to downtown Baton Rouge. You can get to the malls, get to anything in Baton Rouge pretty doggone quick. Still living the rural life over here. And Mr. Carroll saw that. We have lots of industry around us as well. Lots of plants that live south of us, some north of us. So it was always the potential for people to move over here. And since our traffic were, at first when we started growing, a lot of these plant industry people didn't want to move over here until they started getting caught in traffic for 2 hours a day trying to get to and from Baton Rouge because of the bridge situation. So Mr. Carroll they put in for some federal grants, got some grants to build the plant. And the first part of the sewer that they put in was in our old section of town, and it's actually a bunch of grinder pumps over there. So eventually we're going to have to do something to get away from all those grinder pumps, because a lot of those are original grinder pumps since 1989-90. So the federal funding came in. We had another federal grant that paid for our matching part of it. So it cost the town of Addis $0. So Mr. Carroll, Bourgeois, and the council, they had the foresight to go after these federal funds, receive the federal funds, then put it to work, and here we are now.
And I think you said, what was the you said a number, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. What was the capacity they were building for?
Like 10,000 people.
And what was the population at the time of Addis when they did
probably that? Probably in 1989, it would probably been like in a 2,000, 2,500 mark.
So they prepared for a 4 times population growth in the late 90s, or late 80s, early 90s.
Yes, and Mr. Carroll always wanted, he took it from a village to a town, and he always wanted to take it to a city. Personally, I think we probably were a city in the 2010 census, but the numbers just didn't come back. It wasn't supported, and we didn't get the numbers.
But either way, you've had growth since then, for sure.
So, and so actually, part of the land that Mr. Carroll and the council annexed into the town, we actually just finished our last filing on that sugar mill subdivision over there, which now all said and done, when all the houses are built, we're probably right at 1,000 homes in that one subdivision. It'll be between 1,200 and 1,300.
Wow. Well, what else, as far as like, I guess, because it's such an interesting growth story. You've built homes. Is it fair to say you're a bedroom community to Baton Rouge? You've made it a way for people to live close to Baton Rouge, but still kind of have a little bit of a small town feel. Obviously, you got a major highway running through, and there's still a little bit of that traffic. But you've grown because of what people want changing.
Yes, and because of its growth, it's allowed a lot of businesses to come on this side of the river as well. That actually is going to help us in the future. Our sales tax revenues have never. We've never wavered, even during COVID. Our sales tax, that's all we have. In the town of Addis, city of Addis. it's still hard to say city, but so that's why we part of it. Yeah, why we stay
still,
town.
It's fine. You can still be a town.
Yeah. So we don't have our own any ad valorem taxes in the town of Addis. We exist on we run our budget off of sales tax.
Well, talk about that then. The growth in you provided for a population explosion before it happened in the late 80s, and then as you were building that, what businesses came, what types of industry were attracted, and why, and how did the city, I guess, support it, or what have been some of the growing pains there?
So, of course, the growing pains is definitely the traffic part of it, and of course we get blamed for the traffic, but because of the growth we've had here, a lot of the industry, our industry partners that's right next to us that support the town so much, not only because they're paying their taxes, but paying majority of the taxes, but they help in anything that we like to do. But with the growth, we've got our grocery stores. We've got a new grocery store that's up there. I say new now, it's probably about 12 or 14 years. They came down here when Sugar Mill was just starting, that subdivision was just starting. And so they came. In the last few years, a lot of other national or bigger brands, said we didn't have enough rooftops over here.
Right.
So
and then you grew the rooftops.
the rooftops was coming, but one Walk-Ons, which is it's actually a local boy from White Castle, Louisiana, just a couple of municipalities south of us.
Yeah, it's a sports bar and pub kind of thing, right?
Yes, he was a walk-on at LSU.
okay, that's where the name came from.
Exactly right. And so his dad put him in business after college, and so they built this walk-ons that's now national, and he took a chance and he came over here, and since he's come, we've had other businesses, you know, the community CC's, Starbucks, some cookie factories, those type of things is coming, which is going to be important in the next few years because the DOTD is actually doing some interstate work, and it's going to be deadlocked in Baton Rouge. Traffic is not going to move, so it's going to be hard, which brings up other concerns for us over here as far as health care and things like that, trying to, when we have emergencies, when you can't get through Baton Rouge, when they come down to two lanes, one lane, it's gonna be tough. So we're trying to get a whole bunch of businesses over here where we can sustain and
be a little more self-sufficient.
Correct.
Well, I guess with all that growth that's happened, what's next steps? I feel like I told you when we sat down, my conversations, I start with the same question and we go a different direction based on who I'm talking to, which is like a normal conversation. And so usually I'm asking closer to the end of the interview, what about the future? But you've got this story of progression and you're already looking at what's next. So I'll ask that since it's kind of where we're going. What are you looking at right now to try to bring? If it's healthcare, if it's clinics, or are you trying to? Do you have a hospital that's right here that you don't have to go to for a lot of services, or what's the situation there?
So actually, we don't have. We have some doctor's offices and things that's over here, which that's affiliated with the hospitals in Baton Rouge. We do have an emergency room that's south of us in Everville Parish in Plaquemine, our neighboring community, that, of course, in dire needs, a lot of our people still go there and get determined if they need to go to Baton Rouge, if the traffic's bad. And plus, they got a helicopter port and things
like that.
It would always be great, but in our current situation with traffic and intercoastal trying to get across the bridge and things, it's just not
that big wide mighty Mississippi River kind of ends up creating a barrier for you, huh?
Yes. Well, I wouldn't say it was the river. Unfortunately, I think it was politics many moons ago that decided to put an interstate through the heart of Baton Rouge rather than around the outside of Baton Rouge.
I gotcha. Well, what other than healthcare, what other amenities are you in the process of bringing or hoping to bring with all this growth?
Well, we got the Walmarts of the world. We got the grocery stores.
Yeah, sounds like got a lot of. You're attracting the chains.
One thing we would love
before.
To have is like a Home Depot, Lowe's, one of those type of things. And if we got that, of course, our little small neighborhood. Hardware stores and things, people still go there, and regardless if we can get to one in Baton Rouge, we still go over here because the knowledge these people have, the personal service and things. So if we can get a Home Depot or Lowe's, we're pretty much self-sufficient over here besides the hospital part
okay.
of it.
Well, the beautiful thing about that, and I've seen this in several places where there's a growth story, a lot of times your mom and pops, your family-owned business has been there sometimes for generations. May initially feel a little threatened when the big box comes in because it's like, hey, I've been here the whole time serving the community and you waited until we got big enough. But usually the growth story is such that that you need both by then. You can have a thriving downtown with your, like I said, family-owned businesses, but also your chains in another section of town that can both do well. And it sounds like that's the story here, especially with the growth as fast as it's been here with the number of residents you built.
You know, and as I mentioned earlier about me working at Associated Grocers for 26 years, that is the home of mom and pop little grocery stores.
Yeah. Well, you said and 300 and independent grocery stores.
That,
you're not talking
correct.
About a chain.
That's correct. And, you know, we never wavered when Walmarts were growing in popularity and moving in all our neighborhoods and stuff where we had – stores every, you know, in these communities, because all said and done, you know, the local mom and pop that you mentioned, those are the ones that do the customer service and that's what they thrive off of, and they still have the butchers in the back room, those type of things, and you know, it's just like a community. That's what we want to be. We're a welcoming community. So
I think you told me as we were setting up, because I was asking you some questions while I was getting my equipment going, but I don't know if we've said on the recording here, what year did you run for town council, and how many terms you're on? And then remind us what year you...
Ooh, you're going to ask me dates.
I think you told me the year you ran for mayor.
It was like 2003 that I ran for town council.
Okay.
So, and then mayor, I ran 2012. I took office in 2013.
Okay.
So I was full-time at Associated Grocers over there, and I waited till the first meeting that the council could vote for my salary to see if I was going to still work full-time.
Right, right, right.
And they made it, you know, I lost a little bit of money, but I became full-time mayor at that time, 2013, okay. February of 2013.
I'm hearing a lot of the economic development and the things that pretty much, and you're fortunate to have, and it sounds like he was a little bit of a mentor, the previous mayor. And so they had done some things that you and the community got to benefit from or were better prepared for growth. What are the things you've had to face, and what are the things, initiatives you've done? And really, whether it's when as a councilman or as the mayor, you've got – that's about 20 years we've got.
Oh, yes. Well, you know –
so you got probably got plenty of stories in there.
Yes. Well, you know, fortunately, all we have is – the only utility we have is sewer. Our parish does our water and gas.
Okay.
So, we only have to worry about the sewer port, and of course
that's the least fun part and the most expensive and problematic.
It is, but we've been keeping up with our sewer. We've been doing upgrades with it. We've done some low interest loans from Department of Environmental Quality, and so we've had to make some adjustments to our sewer rates, which is, you know, that's never a popular thing.
Well, no,
but
expenses keep going up.
And
so,
this has happened when I was on became mayor. And so I got the council to let's go ahead and raise them at the top of the scale of the charts that we had, because they wanted to kind of stair step. And I'm like, you know, every time you change it, people's going to complain. So if you do
it, let them complain.
So if
one
you do
time.
It one time, that's
one
correct.
Time really loud instead of several times, probably
right.
Really loud.
So we do have a sewer. Our sewer does make money, and we're able to do things and make upgrades and things like that. So other things that we've done since I've been the mayor and previously on the council, we always did road projects, drainage projects, those type of things. Never were really aggressive with it, but when we started growing and you got all these new roads and things, trying to manage to keeping good roads, especially like in the new section of town over there with all that construction, all that heavy equipment going, you know, you couldn't just go and redo a road just to redo a road over there because it's gonna get tore up again.
Sure.
So now we're at the point that we can really get aggressive with our road plan, and we're redoing roads. And when we redo roads, we're not just band-aiding roads. If we got redo them all the way to the bottom, you know, we're going to do that. So
well, the road out in front of City Hall looks like it was newly paved. I drove in on it, and it looks like maybe it just got paved last week. It was so fresh looking.
It is fresh, and that is a state of Louisiana road.
Okay, because that looked like a frontage road to the highway. So
it is, and actually the state act tried to get me to take it over one time.
I was about to say good for you to because that looks like a city road, but you get credit without the money. That's perfect.
You're exactly right, and we were the first ones to get ours redone. So. If you just saw the conditions of those roads, actually what happened was Louisiana, the Department of Transportation, they was redoing LA-1 all the way from the intercoastal all the way to Plaquemine down there. And part of their project, we kept on being a squeaky wheel, saying we need these service roads redone.
Right.
Service. So they did a change order. We got them to do a change order. And so they're coming back and redoing all these roads, especially in front of that new Brule High School that we talked about earlier. You know, it was horrible. You could lose a front end just going down the road. So
sometimes being a good mayor just means being the squeaky wheel to all the other agencies.
Well, that's right.
You
that's
get
right.
them to come and do some
yes.
things for you. So that's good. Well, I want to ask you so much more about, I mean, this is an exciting growth story. And I want to talk more about Addison, what people can do, what people can experience. I actually drove around and got to see a few things I want to ask you about. But before that, I got a segment we all enjoy. You actually said you've heard some episodes, so you might be prepared for these questions. So you can't say you're caught by surprise, but I got four get-to-know-you questions. So for me and for the audience to get to know the mayor of Addison a little better, four questions. The first one is, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname?
I never had a nickname.
Never?
Never had a nickname. And this, our communities around here, everybody has nicknames.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I mean, every once in a while someone tries to convince me they have it.
Somebody may have called me Big Daddy or something like that. But honestly, I've never gone by a nickname.
Well, I'm going to go with Big Daddy then, since you threw that one out there. So, all right, Big Daddy. All right, second question. What would be your go-to karaoke song?
I would have to say Margaritaville.
Margaritaville. All right, that's a great one. Can't wait to see that when you perform it. Third question, what is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
I always say my favorite dish, if I had to pick one meal to eat the rest of my life, would be spaghetti.
Okay.
Although I don't eat it anymore because I'm trying to lose weight. So,
but if you had to pick something, you had to.
It would. Spaghetti. I just love spaghetti.
It's your favorite, but unfortunately, it's not a good favorite is what you're saying.
That's right.
All right. Well, I hope you get to have some spaghetti real soon. All right, last question. If you could attend any concert, any singer, duo, band, any performer of any kind in concert, whether they are now dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
I could name you many of them because I love all genres of music. But people
try to get all kinds and make a music festival out of it.
I would love to go to a Hank Williams Sr. and Patsy Cline.
I'll let you have the combo. Some people try to turn it into a whole music festival for their concert, but
no, just Hank, those
Hank
two.
Senior,
Hank
you're,
Senior,
you're very specific.
I like
about
Hank
that,
Jr., but Hank Senior sure. and Patsy Cline.
All right, thanks for letting us get to know you. This Louisiana episode of Small Town Podcast is produced in partnership with the Louisiana Municipal Association and is sponsored by Louisiana Economic Development. LMA and LED invite you to visit and enjoy the small towns of Louisiana. Small Town Podcast is supported by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. If you are seeking a vibrant community with great entertainment, recreational opportunities, a low cost of living, and a strong local economy, then you should check out the City of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to irwinomics.com. Or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive. All right, I want to talk more about the town, or I guess now the city of Addison. And actually, when I was driving around before I came here and met you at Town Hall, City Hall, we kind of both changed it together. I noticed, and there are rail. In fact, I'm looking at a little railroad set in front of where you sit at council meetings. There's railroad things everywhere, so obviously a railroad's a big part of this town. But I noticed a railroad park and museum probably 3 or 4 blocks from where we're sitting right now. So talk about that, and maybe I'm sure you can spin in a little bit of history because obviously a railroad's a big part of this town.
Yes, of course. The town of Addison, it is a railroad town. We are here because of the railroad, and the railroad will definitely tell you that they were here first, I can tell you. But the late 1800s, Congress had put in for a railroad to connect the West to New Orleans, and it just happened to come through the town of Addison here, and some of the workers came in and started working sugarcane farms and things. And Addis actually grew and became a depot town where people came from all over. It used to be called Addis Junction before it was Addis. And they would come here to catch a train. They'd take it to New Orleans or out west to Alexandria up north, those type of things. But they would actually, we had a hotel and things here back in those days. We don't have any hotels here now. But and actually got incorporated in town in 1915.
Yeah, you have the actual, you showed me the actual incorporation paperwork.
Yes, we do
hanging
have
on the wall
in
the mayor's office.
That's right, 1915. And Addis was actually named after a worker from the railroad.
Okay.
John Wesley Addis. And so, of course, the railroad, Mayor Carroll Bourgeois that we talked about earlier, he actually, and I was on the council at the time, we actually built this park that we're talking about. And you're talking about the museum. It's it was the old bank, and it was one of the only original buildings left from the town of Addis.
Okay.
From all the way.
I figured that was the first bank. It was the Bank of Addis. It's very small.
So Mayor Bourgeois, Carroll Bourgeois, and the council bought that building.
That was the building. Is that where it was sat before, or did it get moved?
Okay. That is exactly where it was.
Where it first started.
Yes. And so we got a little community center right there that we have that the town owns. But the museum, it's basically a lot of railroad and a lot of Addis history as far as the plantations that was around here, and just a lot of things. Really nice. I wish we had time to go by so you can
absolutely.
See it. But so that park, we built it. Ms. Carroll and the council built it, and it was just sitting there. And when I got on the council, we started making other upgrades to it, and it was really a night. We used to have a Mardi Gras parade in the town of Addis that for many years we'd had carnivals that we would have, that we would raise money to pay for fire trucks and things like that for the fire departments. Well, later on, the tax was passed, and there was no need to have those carnivals, so we don't have those anymore. When I became mayor, the park was just basically just sitting there looking pretty, looking very inviting. So once I got in, talked to the council, me and a buddy had talked about it before I got ran for office, and we had talked about Live at 5. Downtown Baton Rouge does a Live at 5, and we can never get there because of traffic.
Right.
So we said, when you get in the office, let's work on something. So
so you made your own, so you wouldn't have to worry about traffic.
We did.
That's neat.
And I digress a little bit. When I became mayor in 2013, one of my first challenges, first big task was we had to plan for our 100th anniversary for the 2015.
Oh, wow. That's right. Okay.
So we did a lot of planning, and I did a lot of it myself, but I like to give credit to everybody else. I'm not one that likes to take the credit. But we had a big two-day event. First night we did it at our little park over here. Next day we actually had a nighttime parade there too, and it was a very nice fireworks show. Next day we had bands all day long, had our history, you know, people at the VFW Hall, which is a parish-owned facility that's very nice too in the town of Addis. But playing that, had a whole bunch of music acts, so I had something to try to keep up with. People enjoyed that so much. So, and with the Live at 5 thing in Baton Rouge that we couldn't get to, started one back in 2017. So the council agreed with me. We paid for the first year. Since we've been doing one, we do 3 events in the spring, 3 events in the fall. I get donations from lots of the industries around here. The town of Addis, we barely pay anything, if we pay anything at all.
Okay.
So it's a music events, Friday nights, pick 3 nights in the spring, 3 nights in the fall. And so it has been a really great way to bring the old Addis, like I grew up in,
yeah,
the small community, and trying to thrive to get keep it a small town feel, even though we were growing, trying to get the new people in, get them together,
sure,
to meet each other and see that we are a welcoming community.
So. Yeah, yeah. I think I saw as I came in, there's another, I guess it was a community center, besides the one you just mentioned by the park. So is that's also something else that's available?
Yes, it's the Addis Community Center, and that's actually owned by our West Baton Rouge Parish.
Okay.
We always get credit for it, but I
hey, as long as they keep it up. They got Addis on the sign, right?
Right.
So that means you get credit for how good it looks.
That's right. Yeah. And that's actually where West Baton Rouge Chamber of Commerce is housed out of.
Okay.
So, that facility there was an appliance warehouse, and the parish bought it, and they redid it, and now it's a beautiful community center that people from all over like to come and rent.
Okay. So it's just a place you can rent out, and so not quite the same as the park where the city is doing events, because it's owned by the parish, but it's just a nice asset for the community.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I know, the whole state's sportsman's paradise. I'm sure just in general, there's some recreational opportunities. So what is there that people can come and do if they want to come visit Addis?
So actually, the West Baton Rouge Parish, we have a tax in West Baton Rouge Parish for recreation. So parish actually handles our recreation for the most part.
Really support recreation. They're taxed specifically for it.
Yes. This community supports a lot of things, and we anything for our kids. We definitely definitely support. We have a nice ballpark facility that the parish owns back there. That they have events back there every weekend. The way they have it designed now, they got the boys playing Addis, the girls playing Brulee, just to keep the two. And we got very nice facilities at both ones. Actually, the parish is putting in some turf fields on every park in the parish.
Oh wow!
Okay. We're very fortunate in West Baton Rouge to have relationships with the other two mayors in the West Baton Rouge Parish President. Matter of fact, we actually meet. We get together once a month. We each take turns. We go to lunch and we just talk about and show everybody that we're one unified group, and we love and we help each other. We bounce ideas off, gas for advice. If we have anything, you can always see that we're going to be standing together, shoulder to shoulders.
That's good. I mean, that level of collaboration is it's much better to do it that way than to be fighting over, because if you don't get along, especially with you guys, since the parish does so much in Addis, having that good relationship, I'm sure, makes things better for all the community.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes.
You mentioned as we walked in here, and I usually kind of ask about the building we're in, kind of near the, like I said, this conversation's been very different, all the others. But you mentioned some kind of the history. I don't know how old this building is. I doubt it goes quite all the way back to 1915 when Addis started. But you even showed me in your office, and it was a working fireplace. I said, I think that's the first time I've seen. Well, it's not working anymore, but it was a working fireplace, and I hadn't seen one of those. So I guess go through this. You got your police department. We're sitting in the city council chambers. There's administration section. So this it looks like this building has been many things over many years.
Yes, it has. It has. And matter of fact, one of my first jobs was in this building when previously where our police department sits over there was actually a home at one time.
Oh, okay.
It turned into a restaurant. Then a restaurant added on. They added a bar room right here where my office is, right outside council chambers here, was added on years later. And it became a dance hall.
Okay.
Right here where the council sits was actually a bar right back here, and I may or may not had my first beer in there.
You've come full circle. The place you had your first drink is probably, I bet you sit in that chair and maybe want to have a drink during council meetings.
You're exactly right. I wish that bar was there sometimes. But, yes, one of my first jobs was actually cleaning this place.
Wow.
On the weekends as a 13- or 14-year-old.
Wow.
So, so this building's come a long way. Yes, fireplace in my office over there. We had to fix the roof a few years back. And when they did that, I asked them to cap it off. Because there was no way I was ever going to have firewood brought into the town hall and smoke coming out the town hall.
Right.
I don't think that would have been a good thing for the citizens to see. But, right here in this building, you had a little bandstand right back here. And actually, I saw Jerry Lee Lewis perform. I got to sit in an office over here, and he performed right
in this room where we're sitting.
That's right, Jerry Lee Lewis. Yes.
So when did it become a town hall? Now it's City Hall. How long ago, roughly?
It was right for our 75th anniversary, which was right at 1990.
Okay. So that's what. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't been Town Hall, City Hall. And we keep using both.
Yes.
For very long. It was a lot of things before that, though. And I think you did mention that you're looking at some point to build a new one. Would you keep this building?
We plan on building a new one. At first, we wanted to redo this building, but when we have big rains here, sometimes we do get water in the building and stuff. So our foundation is way too low thing. So
yeah,
it was just getting too costly just to retrofit this building. So we had made the decision to knock it down, build it in the same footprint right here,
I imagine with all the growth, I should have asked this before, with all the growth in the city over the years, what's the number of police you have to have and city employees doing some of the maintenance stuff? I know you've only got a sewer plant, but you built a much bigger sewer capacity, so you probably have more now than you did in the mid-80s. So what's been the growth of your administration as far as, like, number of people that work at City Hall or for the city?
So, we still operate on, like, we're a town.
Okay.
We're able to just because of our infrastructure. So in our sewer department, we currently have three guys that work there. We are adding a new position. It's just hard to fill positions this day and age, especially to try to find qualified operators.
Yep.
So we're trying to add someone there. We have three in our maintenance department, plus our superintendent that's over both of them. Our police department, we're large in that community. We have our elected chief of police.
Right.
But we just the council and just added some positions last year. We currently have like 10 road deputies, a motorcycle police officer. We added two detectives, and we've added a police officer that's dedicated to our drug task force. Just trying to have the local agencies get together and they fight the crime on drugs. And so we got a dedicated officer that has a police dog. We actually have two police dogs on force too. So.
Okay. So you haven't had to grow that much though.
That's good. We haven't, but in time we will have to.
Sure.
Sometimes if you look out here, it looks like a used car lot because all our police officers, they have their own vehicles out here.
Wow.
So that's been a challenge in trying to keep them running and things.
Right. 'Cause
things are not made like they used to. And then to try find something new is not an easy thing these
right.
days.
Yeah,
know,
yeah, in the last few years. Something about supply chain issues with everything.
I think some of the ones we got last time was somewhere in Georgia where we ended up getting them from.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Mayor, as we close things out, just want to give you the same opportunity I've given all my guests and let you talk directly to the Small Town Podcast audience and tell them why they should come visit or maybe they should come move to Addis, Louisiana.
Well, Addis is it's a growing community. We're trying to keep that small town charm. We've got our close proximity to Baton Rouge. We're right next to LSU, Southern University, Baton Rouge Community College. It's 10 minutes from downtown Baton Rouge. All what Baton Rouge has to offer, you can come right here on this west side. Our community is such a welcoming community. We have great schools and public support of our schools, and so it's a great place to live, and I would invite anyone to come through and visit with us.
Mayor David Toops, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor David Toops for talking with me. I also want to thank the Louisiana Municipal Association and Louisiana Economic Development for partnering and sponsoring this episode. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association and the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority.
Thank you for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.